This is a Bible Answers program in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths. Our subject for this program, God's Remedy for a Suffering World. The only hope for this fear-filled world is found in the promises of God. God in the topsy-turvy world of today? Has God no pity for suffering humanity? Does he not care that his human creation is sick and dying? Frank, will you help us find the answer to these questions? But first, permit me to announce that this program is sponsored by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine in cooperation with local Bible study groups, and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. You are invited to cooperate by telling your friends about these programs. Frank, does the Bible furnish a satisfactory answer to the many perplexing questions that present world conditions are forcing upon us?
Yes, Russell, it does. The Bible reveals the plan of a loving Creator for a peaceful, happy world of tomorrow, with assurance that no surprise move by Satan can prevent the success of that plan, a plan which will alleviate human suffering, even death itself.
Certainly that is what we should expect of a loving and powerful God. But why then are present conditions permitted at all? And why does God permit the innocent to suffer and die without doing anything about it?
God has been doing something about it. He has been getting ready, as a matter of fact, to put a stop to it.
But why wait so long before putting a stop to it?
Well, as each generation has gone down into death, it has been proved that man, by his own wisdom, cannot free himself from the death penalty, the wages of sin. For this reason, God has waited to apply his remedy in order that all mankind, beginning with Adam, might then better appreciate and enjoy that remedy because of their former experience.
And that sounds very good, Frank. But what help will that be to people who have already died?
Well, God's provision for a suffering world includes a resurrection of the dead. Because of this, death does not interfere with what God proposes to do. The experiences of this present life will be much more valuable if there is to be a future opportunity to profit from them, and there will be.
Frank, a moment ago you said that God has already been doing something for suffering humanity. What has God been doing?
Well, God has already sent his Son to redeem mankind from death. Jesus came into the world and died on Calvary's cross as man's redeemer. The Bible reveals that the death of Jesus provides a release from the penalty of death entered against Adam and the human race when our first parents transgressed the divine law 6,000 years ago.
But Frank, why has God permitted nearly 2,000 years to pass since Jesus died for the world without anything further having been done about it?
Well, the scriptures point out that first there was an additional work of preparation to be accomplished.
What is that work?
It is the selecting from mankind of what Jesus referred to as a little flock to reign with Christ in his kingdom. That kingdom through which the blessings of life will be dispensed to the dying race. This little flock class is the true church of Christ.
And that brings up another question in my mind. Why call the church a little flock? Didn't Jesus commission his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel?
That was the great commission Jesus gave to his followers, but the purpose of it was not to convert the world. It was merely to serve as a witness to the world and to reach the one here and one there who would respond and who, by following faithfully in the footsteps of Jesus, would be qualified to reign with him in his kingdom.
Is it your thought, then, after seeing the world unconverted as we do today, and after seeing unbelief sweeping over such a large part of it, that this does not signify that God has failed in the outworking of his plan?
Of course, God's plan has not failed. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself explained that at the time of his second presence, there would be very little faith left on the earth. He declared furthermore that this age would end in godlessness and unbelief. So God's plan has not failed, neither has he forgotten mankind. God has been awaiting his own due time to apply the remedy for sin and death which he has provided.
Well, Frank, that all sounds very encouraging. But you know there are a great many ills afflicting the people today, and it's difficult to believe that they will be soon cured. Let's take the great plague of war that has intermittently menaced the world throughout all ages. Human wisdom has failed to curb it. Will God ever do anything about it?
Oh, yes. In a prophecy recorded in the 46th Psalm, the Lord says that he will make wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. In the 4th chapter of Micah's prophecy, the Lord explains that when his kingdom is established, the nations will inaugurate a genuine disarmament program, that they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks.
Thank you, Frank. That is a good answer. But then, what about the economic problem? This is something which is now giving the world statesmen a real headache.
On this point, the Lord has promised that every man will sit under his own vine and fig tree. This evidently means that economic security will at last be attained, and that Russell will automatically solve the problem of poverty, which has been such a menacing one to millions during all the centuries of the past. Concerning this, the prophet says that the Lord shall judge the poor of his people, he shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper.
The forgotten man, then, is to be remembered at last. But what about human selfishness? As long as that exists, there is sure to be trouble, and you know it.
God has provided the solution to this problem also. He assures us that through the prophet Jeremiah, he will then write his law in the hearts of the people. This means that love, instead of selfishness, will become the motivating power of all human activity.
Thank you. But how about the religious problem? Today, as you know, millions worship a multiplicity of gods, while other millions have no faith in a deity of any kind. This religious confusion and bigotry causes no end of trouble. It leads to national and international distrust and disunity, and even war between nations and war within nations.
Well, in Christ's kingdom, the religious problem is also to be solved. The Bible tells us that the knowledge of the glory of God will then fill the whole earth as the waters cover the sea, so that all will know and worship the one true God, the creator of heaven and earth. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9, the promise is made that then the Lord will turn to the people a pure message by which they will be enlightened and through which they will call upon his name to serve him with one consent.
Well, you certainly do believe in the establishment of a new world, a new social order, don't you?
Yes, it will be God's new world, in which there will be no sickness and death, and in which even those who have died will be raised from the dead to enjoy the blessings God has provided. And this won't be like the tomorrow that never comes, for God's tomorrow will come, and it's not far away either. And now, Russell, will you tell our listeners about the little book, God and Reason?
I will be glad to. Friends, Frank and Ernest and their sponsors will be very glad if you will accept this gift from them. Frank just remarked that God's tomorrow is not far away. Well, the little book, God and Reason, discusses many biblical prophecies which prove that this is so. There's a whole chapter devoted to these prophecies, and every chapter in God and Reason is of vital interest. There is a chapter, for example, on creation. Another chapter is entitled The Only Way Out. Another, The End of the World. And there are others of similar interest. Many of your questions pertaining to life and death and the hereafter are answered in God and Reason. For example, where is paradise? Where are the dead? What is the soul? These are samples of the questions you will find answered in God and Reason. Send for it now. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. May I repeat, send your request for God and Reason to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City, and it will be mailed to you free and, of course, without obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.